Chapter 4. The carpet dipped and swayed as it flew above the moat, until I was sure we were about to fall in. I grabbed hold of Edric's arm, wishing I could hold something more stable, since he was shaking even more than the carpet. Rounding the last of the towers, the carpet leveled out and shot over the training fields where my father and his knights often practiced with swords and lances. In only a few minutes, we had passed over the swamp that Edric and I had spent days crossing. Beyond the river, we flew over the tops of trees, some so tall that I could nearly reach out and touch them. The old witch's retirement community was located deep in the woods, accessible only by enchanted paths or by air. The paths led directly to the individual cottages and were the surest, although slowest, way of getting there. From the air, the community was so well hidden, it would be easy to miss. I tried to observe everything at once, turning my head back and forth like a confused weather vane. Edric was just as excited as I was, and together we made the rug jiggle and bounce as we looked around. A pink fog drifted over the forest, its wispy tendrils reaching into the trees. The faint odor of boiled cabbage reached us, and I wondered who was cooking it. We were over the fog when I noticed the purple mountains in the distance. When I looked again, they seemed to be much closer. A hawk flew by, drawing my attention with it. The next time I looked toward the mountains, they appeared to have moved farther away again. "Are the mountains moving?" I asked my aunt as the rug dropped closer to the woods. "Not at all, although it looks that way, doesn't it? It's just the effect of the magic miasma, that pink fog that passes over the woods now and then. It's pretty, but it makes the community harder to find. Wait, I think I see it." The cottages of the old witch's retirement community were scattered around a small clearing. A fire pit occupied the center, an added bonus for those witches who liked to cook outside. Wooden tables and benches surrounded the fire pit, seating for the witches and their guests. The clearing was the first thing we spotted from the air. As we drew closer, I began to see the cottages hidden among the trees. There were four basic styles of cottages, but each witch had decorated hers in her own way, so no two were exactly alike. Some of them were gingerbread houses, like my grandmother's. Some walked about on chicken legs, and some had thatched roofs and were surrounded by bushes bearing red and white roses. Others were made of stone and covered with ivy. The community itself grew and shrank as witches came and went, the cottages lasting only as long as they were needed. Some, like the gingerbread houses, disintegrated over time if not maintained. The cottages with chicken legs walked away when their owners died. The rug was skimming just above the tops of the trees when I spotted Grandmother's cottage. Made of gingerbread, it had been repaired so many times that it didn't look at all the way it had when it was new. Visitors had eaten most of the icing trim, and my grandmother had replaced it with spun sugar. The gumdrops decorating the shutters had gotten hard, so she'd set clear fruit-flavored lozenges in their place. She'd also had to replace the gingerbread doors and many of the more accessible sections of the walls. The newer pieces of gingerbread were darker in color than the older ones, giving it a patchwork kind of look. Grisina landed the rug in the cottage's front yard, and I expected Grandmother to tear out of the house, waving her broom at us and screeching her usual greeting. When she didn't even peep out from behind her cotton candy curtains, I became concerned. Scrambling to my feet, I hurried to her front door. The latch, made of licorice and bearing the teeth marks of some long-ago visitor, was so sticky that I didn't want to touch it, but I didn't have much choice. Lifting the latch, I pushed the door open and peeked inside. "Grandmother? Are you there? It's me, Emma. Grisina's here, too." Aside from the normal creaking of a candy house, the cottage was silent. "That's strange," I thought, stepping into the tiny entranceway. The cottage was small, so it didn't take me long to search it. but there was no sign of grandmother in the kitchen, the parlor, or either of the two guest bedrooms. I didn't really expect to find her in her bedroom at that time of day, but I glanced inside anyway. I was closing the door when I noticed a lump under her bed covers. Tiptoeing into the room, I reached for the covers and yanked them back, but it was only her cat, Harold, taking a nap. An old orange tabby turning white around the mouth and eyes, Harold was the only animal I'd ever known my grandmother to like, and was one of the most disagreeable cats I'd ever met. Blinking sleepy eyes at the sunlight flooding the room, Harold put his ears back and growled when he saw me. I was used to his temper, however, and knew enough to keep well away from his claws. "I don't suppose you know where my grandmother is?" I said, not really expecting an answer. The cat sneered, then sat up to lick the base of his tail. I turned to leave and was halfway out the door when Harold spoke up.
"Even if I knew, I wouldn't tell you. You've never treated me the way I deserve to be treated. No self-respecting witch's cat wants to be cuddled and called baby names."
"I'm sorry I offended you, but I know a lot of cats who like to be petted," I said. Harold stretched out a leg and bent down to lick his thigh.
"Well, I'm not one of them."
He glanced up at me and crinkled his nose in a half-snarl.
"At least you're working on your magic, although you're long overdue."
"How do you know what I'm doing?"
"You're talking to me, aren't you? Your grandmother will be pleased. She's been very disappointed in you lately. As for where you can find her, she disappeared a few nights ago. It's a good thing she put in that cat door, or I might have gotten hungry by now."
I left the cat bathing himself and went outside to find Grisina. Hearing sounds in the backyard, I headed around the side of the cottage, passing Grandmother's rock candy sundial on the way. It was almost noon, Grandmother's normal lunchtime. She should have been there, setting the table for her midday meal. When I found my aunt, she was kneeling beside the oversized oven that Grandmother used for baking large sheets of gingerbread.
"What are you doing?" I asked.
"Checking to make sure she isn't in here," said Grisina. "She once had a neighbor who had some children visit for a few days. One of them shoved her in her own oven and slammed the door shut. All that was left of her were some charred bones."
"That's terrible. What happened to the children?"
"Not a thing. They said that she was going to eat them and claimed it was self-defense."
I shuddered.
"Was there anything in Grandmother's oven that shouldn't be there?" Grisina shook her head.
Munching a piece of gingerbread he'd taken from someone's wall, Edric came out of the forest with Haywood loping by his side.
"I think Grandmother's been gone for a few days," I said.
When Grisina raised a questioning eyebrow, I told her of my encounter with Harold the cat.
"I'm not surprised that you can't find her," said Edric. "Haywood and I took a quick look around, but we didn't see a single witch."
"That's right," said Haywood. "I think this whole place is abandoned."
"Maybe we should check the other cottages," I said. Grisina nodded. "We probably should. Just don't open any doors. These old witches don't take kindly to nosy people. Now be careful."
I joined Edric outside the gate, while Haywood accompanied Grisina. None of the cottages we found appeared to be occupied. Once we had finished, Edric and I headed for the clearing in the center of the community. We had reached the first of the tables encircling the fire pit when Edric stopped and bent down to pick up something.
"What's this for?"
he asked, showing me a simple cloth bag. I turned it over in my hands.
"I don't know. Maybe we should show it to Grisina."
I jumped when Haywood leaped onto the table beside me, landing with a thud.
"What do you want to show her? Here, let me see."
The otter sniffed it, then weighed it with his paws before setting it on the table.
Seems harmless enough. Queen of my heart, come see this.
Grisina stepped up to the table and passed her hand over the bag as if she was feeling for something.
There's nothing magical about it. Let's see what it holds.
When her nimble fingers had untied the knot, she poured some of its contents onto her palm. Pure white sand, the color of fresh snow, formed a sparkling mound.
"It's sand," said Edric, sounding disappointed. "Why would anyone put sand in a little bag like that?"
"That's a good question, Edric," said my aunt. "Something is very wrong here. All of the witches seem to have left at once, although there were no fires, no threat of any kind, and no obvious reason why they should leave. These witches wouldn't just abandon their homes or their animals, not with all the magic they have tied up in them. Keep looking and see what else you can find." Once again, Edric and I went in one direction, while Grisina and Heywood went in the other, inspecting the tables and the area around them. The fire in the fire pit had gone out, another sign that something was wrong, since the witches always kept it lit. Ashes from the pit had blown across the clearing, drifting all the way to the inner circle of tables. I was holding my skirts out of the ashes, nudging a lump with the toe of my shoe, when I noticed a mouse under the table. Seeing that the mouse was running toward a small hole in the ground, I darted ahead and covered the hole with my foot. "Excuse me," I said, crouching down so that I was closer to its level. The mouse skidded to a stop, sitting back on its haunches in surprise. "I see that you're in a hurry, so I won't keep you long. I was wondering if you could tell me where the witches have gone." The mouse looked over its shoulder as if expecting to see someone else standing behind it. When it realized that there was no one there, it turned back to stare up at me.
"You're talking to me? No big people ever talk to me."
"It's true. I am talking to you. But then I happen to know that mice can be very nice. My name is Emeralda. My grandmother lives in the retirement community, and her name is Olivine. I can't seem to find her or any of the other witches who live here. I was wondering if you might know where they went."
"I have no idea where the witches went, but the other evening they had a big meeting with lots of people talking. Then they all got excited and flew off with parchments in their hands that looked like that one."
The mouse pointed at the ground. Reaching under the table, I felt something beneath the ash. It was a parchment so coated with ash that the writing was barely discernible. When I picked it up and shook it, I realized my mistake instantly. My nose began to tickle. I tried to hold the sneeze in, but it was too strong. My eyes began to water, feeling as if they might pop out of my head if I didn't sneeze. I looked around, wanting to warn Edric. And then... achoo! I've never been able to keep my eyes open when I sneeze, so I didn't see Edric change. When I opened them, I was chest deep in the powdery ash, holding the edge of the parchment in my long green fingers. The mouse took one look at me and disappeared into its hole.
"Emma!"
Edric wailed. "I'm over here," I said, waving my other hand in the air.
"Don't just sit there," he said, his voice growing louder as he hopped toward me. "Turn us back!"
"I'll try," I said. "If the ash made me sneeze once, it ought to do it again." Leaning toward the dust, I took a deep breath, but instead of sneezing, I started to cough, a loud hacking cough that reached deep into my lungs. Edric emerged from the ash like a small, lumpy ghost. He looked so funny that I would have laughed if I hadn't still been coughing.
"How about a spell?" he asked. "Grisina said you'd have to learn to control the frog transformations through your magic."
"My magic? But I don't know any spells to turn us back."
"Then make one up. It can't be too hard. Witches make up spells all the time."
"I suppose I could try," I said. But my mind was already whirling. Should I make it rhyme?
What if I turn us into something horrible? What if the witches return and throw me in a cauldron before I can explain who I am? What if...
Are you going to make up a spell or not? Asked Edric.
This ash is drying me out. We're going to have to find some water if you don't change us back soon.
All right, all right. Just give me a minute. Frog, clog, dog, bog. I tried to think of rhyming words that I could use. Change, strange, range. Although I had a good idea of what a spell could do, I had no idea how it worked.
If you're not going to try a spell, I'm heading for those trees, said Edric. It's too hot here, and my skin is starting to shrivel.
Fine, fine, I said. I'll try this one. I'm now a frog. I was a girl. Please turn me back and make...
No, wait, shouted Edric. Think about what you're saying. You're still a girl, just not a human girl. Try again. Something that doesn't involve gender. The last thing I want to do is turn into a girl.
Okay, I said. Then how about this? Frog isn't what I want to be. Please turn me into my old me. I could feel myself changing, although it wasn't at all like the other times. I grew bigger and taller, but I also felt weaker. I felt pains in my joints and my vision blurred. When I looked at my hands, they were human, but they were wrinkled and had brown spots on the back. I turned to look at Edric and saw an old man with a pot belly and straggly white hair sitting in the ash.
Here they are, shouted a familiar voice, and Haywood came sliding on his stomach through the dust. I found the old witches, but there's only two, and one looks like an old man.
One is an old man, grumbled Edric, his voice as creaky as rusty armor. An old man who should be a young one. What's wrong with you, Emma? Can't you get anything right?
I told you I didn't have a spell ready, Edric, I said, my own voice sounding shrill in my ears. But you insisted that I...
Emma, Edric, is that you? Grisina stepped lightly through the ash.
Good gracious, what happened? She said, glancing from Edric to me.
Edric scowled.
We were frogs, so Emma tried to use her magic to make us human again.
I said I wanted to be turned into my old me. I guess I shouldn't have said old.
No, said Grisina, but at least this is one spell that's easily reversed. Taking a burnt piece of wood from the fire pit, Grisina scribbled something on a scrap of parchment she dug from her pouch, then handed it to me, saying, Read this out loud, Emma. I had to squint to read it, as my vision wasn't very good, but she'd printed the letters large enough that it wasn't too hard.
From old to young, return us to our rightful age, to each be true.
I sighed with relief when the aches and pains melted away. My scalp prickled when my hair turned from white to its normal auburn. My skin tingled as it grew firmer and the wrinkles disappeared. My eyesight improved as well, and everything that had been blurry came into focus. Although it didn't happen all at once, it was fast enough to be disorienting, and I had to grab Grisina's hand to keep my balance.
Oh, my, I said, closing my eyes until the world stopped spinning. I'm glad that's over.
Suddenly I feel sorry for the old witches, Edric said. Being old is terribly uncomfortable.
How did it happen, Emma? Asked Grisina.
Oh, I said, glancing at the ground by my feet. A mouse showed me a parchment. I picked it up and the dust made me sneeze. Here it is. Careful to hold my breath, I retrieved the parchment from the ash and shook it clean. It was beautiful. Done in the style of the best illuminated manuscripts, a small picture depicted a dark and gloomy swamp where trees stood on stilted roots above a winding river.
toothy reptiles propelled themselves through the water with their long, ridged tails, while slender, beady-eyed snakes twined around branches. The text was handwritten in black ink with gold accents and looked very fancy. Tired of retirement? Forget all your troubles and begin life anew in the Forgotten Swamp. Edric examined the creatures in the picture.
Look at the size of those things. Do you suppose they're real?
Maybe. But if they are, I wouldn't want to be a frog in that swamp, I said. Grasina, however, seemed even more impressed when I repeated what the mouse had told me.
Wonderful, she said. Now we have a good chance of finding the old witches.